Welcome to Maryland Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
Welcome to Maryland Solutions. We're so glad you're here today. And joining me is a real treat today. We have Robert Grant back with us again. He was with us earlier. He's a freelance writer, speaker, researcher, and author from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And today we're going to be talking about his book, Are We Listening to the Angels? And first, I would like to make a couple announcements, such as Wilderness Spirituality is still available from me. This book, if you remember, was written by Reverend Rodney Romney, who was here a few weeks ago. And he donated some books to that the proceeds of these books can support the program. So if you're interested in one of his wonderful books, Wilderness Spirituality, the $25 cost of his book does go to this program. They are selling, so don't put off getting your copy. You can call me at 253-845-4907 or email me at marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. And for those of you who are interested in angels, which we're going to be talking about today, if you're interested in having some of my angels that I paint in your home or a gift to give to your best friend or someone, a relative or someone that you are close with at work, so wherever it would fit in, you can go over to Crystal Voyage at Freight House Square by the Tacoma Dome and pick out your selections of inspirational plaques or angels over there. And remind your friends and your family your angels are always with you. And I would like you to remind you to let the sponsors of this program know you heard their messages today after our, or rather during our breaks, and they're there to serve you. Now is the best part of the program. We are here to meet Robert Grant, who conducts popular workshops and lectures for the Edgar Cayce Organization and regions throughout the U.S. and Canada. He also has presented programs for the Omega Institute, numerous Unity churches, and the Unity Church of Christianity in Kansas City, Missouri. He has been featured on the NBC special Ancient Prophecies, numerous PBS television and radio talk shows. He was a spokesperson on Edgar Cayce's work in the Fox Network's television program Sightings. From 1986 till 1991, he was part of a 5-member team to computerize, proofread, and index the vast collection of 14,305 psychic readings left behind by Edgar Cayce, who lived from 1877 to 1945. The 5-year undertaking also included the computerization of volumes of historical documents, correspondence, and reports relative to Cayce's life and work. Rob calls this 5-year project the greatest education of his life. Today we're talking about his book, Are We Listening to the Angels? And this is the first book ever published that talks about Edgar Cayce's readings about angels and the Archangel Michael. He talks about angelic appearances to a new awareness of how angels influence world evolution and one's own personal apocalypse. He discusses angels' roles in personal and planetary karma, the angelic hierarchy, the origin and destiny of Christ, archangels and fallen angels, which we are going to get into, and the meaning of angels in the Revelation. He reveals angelic secrets. Rob, we're so glad to have you here today.
Oh, Marilyn, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a delight to talk with you. That we always seem to have more to talk about than time, so let's move on. And I really was impressed with the artwork in your book. How did you find those?
The illustrations, actually, those are they're engravings that were done. They're actually 18th century engravings by Gustave Doré. And I know as an artist, you might be familiar with Doré. He did lead engravings. Mm-hmm. And I was really delighted because the fact that they're from the 18th, 19th century, they're in the public domain.
And
Gustave Doré, for those of you who are interested, he was the one who did the illustrations for Milton's Paradise Lost. And he did Paradise Lost, Dante's Inferno.
I thought I'd seen in your book someplace else, and it wasn't until I realized even when I read that in your book that's where they were.
Paradise Lost is probably the most famous of the works that Milton did, and Gustave Doré did them, and they're just, to me, they're just spectacular images. And people can probably find those on the internet, but to me, they're just so beautiful and stunning, aren't they?
I'm always intrigued when I am looking at those pictures. He did such a marvelous job.
And see, I don't know a lot about art, but I know that probably lead engraving is probably a very difficult area to work in. I mean, they're almost, they resemble like photographic images, don't they?
Yes, with a different pattern than like you would have like for a halftone. It's the halftone is in a line design.
Right, exactly. And I found those like when in the different chapters that I wrote about that so many of them corresponded in such a beautiful way. And it was very interesting when I was writing the book and, you know, I was researching about the Archangel Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Edgar Casey's readings talked about that everything that is in the material world has its spiritual source in the unseen realms. Or as Casey put it, everything in the material realm is a shadow of what exists in the real realm. And so, in that light, to me, it helped me understand the bigger role of like archangels, because, like, if in terms of art and music and healing, the Archangel Raphael is sort of the universal repository of all the vibrations that can be manifested in art or music or healing come from the source of Raphael, and so. People who are drawn to music and art and whatnot are actually in alignment with that particular archangel when mm-hmm. they write or do any of those things. And that, to me, really was sort of a practical way to understand how the archangels work. They're not necessarily individuals, but they are, as Casey said, they're universal laws. And so whether whatever area of interest that we may have, whether it's art, music, writing, when we align ourselves to do that work, we are actually in tune with the universal source of all that. And that really is one of the facets of the way the archangels inspire us, because, again, we're intimately connected with these divine presences. It's not that we are lower than they are. We're just in the material world. But when we tune in either through meditation or prayer, and then if you sit down to do any inspirational writing or artwork or to compose a symphony, whatever, we're drawing from the very highest realms of the divine to manifest those gifts. And that was just a beautiful explanation to me.
Well, I'm glad you explained that. I was working on a piece of art. In fact, I gave you a wall hanging one time.
Yes, you did. I have it here in my living room.
Well, thank you. And I was working on one that, in fact, I used at a retreat in a silent auction. But I was painting it that night, and all of a sudden I came to this block. And I thought, what is going on? They always finish, and maybe this is one that won't. And all of a sudden, this angel appeared, and she had her hand on her hip. They have a great sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
I have had a lot of fun with them. And she appeared, and she stood there real indignant, and she looked at me and she said, "Haven't you figured it out yet?" Because I had tried blonde hair, and I had tried brown hair. And she said, "I have black hair." And so I reached for the black paint, and the picture finished itself.
Oh, how interesting.
It was just hilarious, though. She was so indignant about the whole thing, about how slow I was.
Well,
I got a joke out of that.
That's really. And speaking of artists, you may remember Michelangelo. You know, he would say when he in a block of marble, he said that he would see the angel already in the block of stone, and he would carve it to set it free.
I think that's amazing, because that's what I'm finding out. Sometimes I don't necessarily see it ahead of time, but my hand is just drawn to do whatever it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It's like I'm just in spite of it.
Exactly. And, you know, to me, it's like the in going through Edgar Casey's readings during that project, I was just amazed at how, number one, how intimately we as human beings are aligned with the archangel, and earlier when you mentioned the Archangel Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Cayce said that from this period, I believe from like the late 1800s until well into, I think, in the year 2199 or something, we're under the direction or the guidance and protection of Archangel Michael. And Cayce said that Archangel Michael is the Lord or the guard of the change that comes for souls who seek the spiritual way. So Michael is sort of an emissary for spiritual awakening. And a lot of people have noticed that there's a sense of time quickening,
mm-hmm.
that there's a sense of an accelerated time, and that people all over, whether they've been interested in these subjects or not up to this point, are coming to these spontaneous knowings, or they're given a given direction to go in. Well, Edgar Cayce said Michael is the vibrations or the emanations from Michael are always present in the Earth's influences at times of spiritual renaissance.
Okay, Rob, we're going to take a break here, but people
okay.
can call in with their angel questions. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, toll-free, 253-804-5765. So be sure and ask Rob your questions you've always wanted to ask. He's here today. Now's your chance. Stay tuned, and we'll be back shortly, and we'll talk more about angels. Thank you.
Anybody from the outside can send things anywhere, and so...
Hang on, Rob. Welcome back to Maryland Solutions. We're glad you're here today, and we're having this terrific visit with Robert Grant, who has written a book called Are We Listening to the Angels? Are you there, Rob?
Yes, I am, Marilyn.
Still here. We don't want you to go away this hour.
No.
And reading your book, I read Scott Sparrow's foreword. And he had a terrific question in there, and it was, why do people need angels, and how does this need differ from their need for a more human master or redeemer? Can you help us out with that?
That's a very interesting question, and a lot of times there can be a sense of confusion when we look at it in terms of, who this angel is and what role do they play and whatnot. If we just think of angels as the voices or a direct link to the Creator or God. Not that they are separate from. It's not that when you pray to an angel, you're not praying to God. The angels, what I've often said is, if you think it's amazing that an angel can manifest in your life or intervene on your behalf, consider the source that sent it.
Oh, what a great way to look
at
that.
So in that light, and in Edgar Cayce's readings, he said that angels do manifest in our lives in different ways. Fine, don't get so caught up in the messenger that you miss the message. Because I know that there were, there was a lot of things about who is my guardian angel and what's their name and all this stuff. It's like, and a lot of times we can get so caught up in that where we miss the fact that it's not so important who it is. It's the fact that each and every soul, according to Cayce, has a guardian angel that when we attune to that, like when we ask for, we ask to be a channel of blessings to people in our lives, and we do that every day, we are putting ourselves in alignment with the divine, and naturally the angels gravitate to us. And it's not that they're going to necessarily stop some upheaval or a crisis or a challenge. That's not their role, although there are instances in my book where I wrote about angelic intervention.
Yeah, I was going to ask you more about
more
that.
More than anything else, they're there to assist us having a closer relationship with the Creator. And so I think, to me, it's like when I don't necessarily pray for a specific thing from my guardian angel. I pray specifically to God, and then ask that the the angels oversee and guide and direct my life and work. So in my view, you pray directly to the source, and then the messengers naturally follow.
I think that's real wise. I had some experiences where I believe an angel came to me when I had a flat tire on a long trip.
Oh, yes. And I actually wrote about a unique story in my book about that. Yeah. There was, in and around the Washington, D.C. area, there were so many unexplained phenomena of people that whose cars had broken down in times of emergencies. And there was a group of people that showed up in this nondescript van and would fix whatever was wrong. And then as they went over the horizon, the van just disappeared. And the Washington Post actually carried an article on this, and they were talking about the angelic AAA
that was active on
I-95, and it was for people who were in, they had to be somewhere. It was either a matter of life and death for someone very close to them. And someone said, I don't remember where I read this, but a lot of times souls that, like the angels that participate in this, these were souls that were once human, and either they had committed suicide or that they were not paying penance, but that they were acting in the capacity of a guardian angel directly with human beings so they could understand how important the human experience was. You know, we've heard all these sort of terrible stories about what happens when we commit suicide,
mm-hmm.
You know, and people have talked about, well, most people, if they, souls who have reached the point where they have lost hope and they've lost, you know, they're in a very, very deep depression. My understanding is God's not going to kick you when you're down.
No, in fact, in my case, five angels came.
Exactly. And see, suicide does throw things out of whack, but what people have found is that there's no place that we can go to in this world or the next where God is not. And so the soul gets endless opportunities to redeem itself and to right things. And so for some souls on the other side, it's like they're assigned to help other human beings between lifetimes. And so what I saw in Casey's readings, that contrary to popular belief that people are people and angels are angels, Edgar Casey said that in the times that we are not in the earth, more times than not, we are acting in the capacity of a guardian angel for someone else.
Well, I found that to be true in my case also. I just knew that was happening at that point. I was led to be at a lady's bedside one morning as she came out of anesthesia from a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came to, she was so awestruck. And I had not even planned to be there. I was in the car heading for someplace else, and the next thing I knew, I was sitting next to her bed. It was not something I'd planned at all.
And see, it's interesting that you say that, because there was a woman who had gotten a reading from Edgar Casey back in the 30s, and she felt that her life at that time, she didn't feel a sense of purpose. She felt very adrift at sea. In her reading, Edgar Casey said that during her sleep states, while she was asleep, she was going out and she was assisting those soldiers that were killed on the battlefield during World War II to go to the light.
Well,
during their sleep state. And I've found other correlating material that says that we are about a completely different work during the time that we're asleep. But those memories or those experiences don't impress themselves upon our brain when we wake up. And so what I've found is what I've suggested to people is, before you go to sleep at night, to ask that you be a channel of help and a blessing to those in other realms, wherever God would direct us. So it seems to be that not only are we assisting one another here in the earth realm, but we're also doing it during the sleep state.
Well, I've found myself waking various times exhausted, like I
right.
didn't have a good night's rest. And I thought, what's going on? And I found that what you're saying in my case has been true at times.
It really is. And it's from what I've gathered from Casey's readings, just my own experience, we are far more vast than we think we are, and that we're also multidimensional in that we're operating in many systems at once, and especially, well, as Edgar Cayce said, the only difference between sleep and death is that when we go to sleep at night, we wake up in the morning. But we're also, during the sleep states, we're in the realms that we would call the realms of the dead, and a lot of times we're helping other souls that may be earthbound. Really fascinating. And so in this light, I see human beings as angels becoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. I think that when we're aware, we become more honest about that.
Yeah, I mean that we're all works in progress. Exactly. And a lot of times we are harder on ourselves than God would ever dream of being. And I always remember what Edgar Cayce said to a close friend of his. It was a lady who'd gotten a reading, and she was rather discouraged with some of the things that she had to work on. And he put his arm around her, and he said, "Darling, a lily blooms with its feet in the mud."
I wrote a poem similar to that.
And I really love that because, you know, a lot of times we think, okay, here we are in the muck and the mire and whatnot. Well, yeah, it's true, but, you know, we are like the lilies with our feet firmly planted in the muck. We're to bloom where we're planted.
Exactly. You were telling us a little bit about Archangel Michael before the last break. What else did you want to share about that?
Well, the one thing that I was really amazed with was that in Edgar Cayce's reading, first of all, Edgar Cayce, I think he's unique in that whatever question was posed to him, whether it was medical, spiritual, mental, whatever, he could answer any question posed to him while he was in a sleep state. And so the readings themselves said that Edgar Cayce was very much like a radio receiver, that if the group surrounding him would attune to the highest, then the highest would speak through him. And so in his readings, there were, when the attunement was just right, there were the most powerful, beautiful messages that came through directly from the Archangel Michael. And Hugh Lynn Cayce, Edgar Cayce's eldest son, said that during the time that these experiences would happen, the Edgar Cayce's voice didn't change except in the volume. He said he could hear the windows rattling in the house.
I thought that was an awesome thing when you described that.
When the voice spoke through. But what it was the very same messages that were given back in the biblical days. A lot of us think, okay, that was then when people seemed to be more attuned to their Creator and people had all these experiences. What I saw in Cayce's readings was that the angels and the archangels are overseeing our development just as much as they did back then. And those powerful messages from Michael that I included in Are We Listening to the Angels really inspired and uplifted me, because he said Michael said each soul is called to be of a spiritual service. And in one passage, Michael said, "The way which I guard will lead to the ways of light, and love, and the way that I guard, I will protect thee, I will oversee thee. I, Michael, have spoken." Just these very powerful, beautiful messages that just let me know that in these very uncertain times when we can become very fear-filled and uncertain about things, we certainly have an advocate and an overseer that will help us to be about the spiritual work, and that we don't travel this road alone.
Well, you really answered something I think a lot of people have concern about, because when we see all the plagues and the famines and the earthquakes and the floods and the economic instability, crime and crisis going on, to have a message like that is profound.
Yes, and I think so too. And in the Bible it says that I'm paraphrasing, but it said in those times there will be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all these upheavals. It said, "And then Michael shall stand up, and in that day he shall gather his elect from the four corners of the earth." And that, I mean, this was either in the book of Daniel, but what I'm seeing is we're being gathered.
Okay, we're going to come back to that, Rob.
Okay.
And people can call you at 253-584-1480. King County is 253-804-5765. We had lots of call-ins last week. People, pick up those phones and help us out again. So we'll be back in just a minute after these messages. Don't go away. Welcome back to Maryland Solutions. We're having a rousing day today talking about angels, and in that just recently, Archangel Michael. If you wish to reach me for counseling, classes, readings from your angel, past life regression, or to talk to those passed over, call me at 253-845-4907 or email me at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. If you choose to make a contribution to continue this program on the air, you can also select a topic or guest of your choice to be on with this program so you can hear something, buddy, you've been missing or have wanted to hear for a long time or something you've wanted to talk about and hear more about. Just give me a call and we can work it out. I want my listeners to tell the sponsors of this show that you heard about them on the air. They'll be pleased you do. Now, we've been talking with Rob about Archangel Michael. And I think it's really a profound message to help us for today, Rob, that we don't have to be in fear. We don't have to have all that anxiety and turmoil in our lives and that somebody is there with us.
Yeah, and to me, it's I look at it very much like that we have a big brother.
Oh, terrific.
overseeing us, and because it may not seem like it, but it really is a choice. When we're being given the choice to cling to the world of the outer appearance and fall into a state of fear and paranoia and anxiety and a sense of hopelessness. And the thing is, we need to be really careful because, as Edgar Casey said, thoughts are things. And they become, as he said, crimes or miracles in the courses that they run. And so what I'm seeing as I travel around the country and do seminars is, people are coming face to face with themselves and are being asked the question, are you going to cling to the world of outer appearances or are you going to look within to something or someone higher than yourself to get through this?
Isn't that what the angels are trying to tell us?
Well, exactly. And so what I'm seeing is absolutely there's nothing in the material world that's going to give us a sense of peace or a sense of stability, especially in these times. And that's where I'm seeing, as hard as these times are, they're prompting people to look deeper and to say, you know, when they get up in the morning, it's like, God, help me to get through this day. And now more than ever, people are going through, you know, a lot of crises. And the thing is, the answer to it is we can't get through this alone. We absolutely can't. And so what I'm seeing in the people's lives, people that I know, they're either fragmenting and falling apart, or they're falling together. And the beauty of it is, though, is after a time of falling apart and, you know, banging our heads against the wall looking for a material solution and answer to things, eventually the person gets exhausted and starts looking within. And that is where Edgar Casey said, if the soul will but turn its attention within, it'll find the peace that passes understanding. And I think now more than ever, as we do take that 10 to 15 minutes a day for prayer and meditation, that not only brings peace to the soul, but it also sends peace, you know, it emanates out from us to the world at
large.
Well, I
had a really interesting experience exactly about this falling apart. I went to New York to collect a trophy for a national poetry contest.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first trip I made to New York it was right after my divorce. And so I was very scared to go without, so to speak, a male to look after me. And so I said to my angels, I said, I need you to go with me in case I fall apart. And I just wanted that friendship too. And so there they were on the airplane with me as we were flying out of Seattle, only they were above the luggage compartments. There was areas up there laying down, and I said, what are you doing up there? And they said, well, there aren't any empty seats, which there weren't. They said, when people get off in Portland, we'll go down and get a seat. So they were with me in New York on that trip, and I fell apart. Literally, I felt like concrete crumbling in the elevator going down to a different floor while I was staying for this convention. And I just said, I need help, you know. And all of a sudden, it was like the pieces just, it was like running the movie projector backwards.
Right.
The pieces just kind of came back together, glued in, and it was like I walked off the elevator complete again. It was awesome.
And now what I'm finding is you know, the door is always up. There's this really great story that sort of illustrates this for people out there who are cat lovers. I don't know.
Yes, I am.
Do you have a cat? Okay. If you've ever had a cat that's like an outside cat, you'll hear it scratching at the door, and then you go and you open the door, and the cat stands there, cleans its paws, rolls over, but won't come in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so you shut the door, and then you hear the scratching and the meowing, and you open the door, and the cat's like, it's like, and we're going, are you coming in or not? And the cat stands there. And in the story, a friend of mine said, that's, okay, the cat is us. The one holding the door is God.
Oh.
Now.
I love
that. And in that light, it's like no matter what that cat does, no matter how exasperated or how many times you have to go and open that door, there's nothing that would ever make you love that cat less, right? So very much in the same way, it's like God is standing there at the door, and you know we scratch at the door, you know, but we don't come in. And so, to me, that was just sort of a beautiful illustration of what we do, you know, when you know we may say a prayer and reach out, we want to come in, but we're sort of afraid to make the leap of faith. And again, we're so hard on ourselves, harder than God would ever dream of being. That story really was very comforting to me because I thought, even at our worst, God loves us the same way that we would love that animal, that cat. And so I thought, even when God must get absolutely exasperated with us, as George Ritchie said from his near-death experience, the being of light that he encountered loved every unlovable thing about him.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and so, but I love that story about the cat standing at the threshold, and you know, it goes back to the Bible verse: "I stand at the door and knock." And so, I think now more than ever, as soon as we call out, as soon as we ask for help, they're there. But again, we're free-willed beings, and the angels, the divine, is not going to interfere. It's like we have to ask for help in order for them to come fully into our lives.
Well, I had an experience where I didn't ask for help, but it was probably it was the first time I became aware of their presence, and it had to happen so I could say, oh, yeah, they are there, because our car went off the side of the Grand Canyon, and we went upside down, and this was in the snow. And the road was icy, and we hit it before it was they sanded it. And this car was coming towards us in the middle of the road, wouldn't take their side of the road. So we said, you know, do we go left or right of this car in the middle? Went right and went right off the edge and landed upside down in the snow. But the angels took the car so gently and so slowly as we went upside down. There was a lot of damage to the car. But I was with my ex-husband and my children, and we walked out of that car without a scratch. And the ranger said they had never had an accident like that at the Grand Canyon where people walked out without any repercussions, you know, medical problems.
That's amazing.
He could not believe this.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I could just feel what was going on. I didn't see anything, and that was the first time I didn't see angels until later. But I just knew that what was going on, because it was slower than a motion picture in slow motion.
Yeah. And you know, and I've never seen angels. I don't see them. And I'd rather not.
They're terrific.
Well, they're going to think we're nuts, you know, we're talking like this. I mean, but,
that's okay. I'm nuts.
But I mean, I think the key thing is that from what I learned and the way I detail it in my angels book was that a lot of times they will speak to us through the voice that sounds like the voice in our head. Like that,
yes,
and each and every person has had an angelic experience. Each and every person that's listening has had one.
I believe
and,
so.
And I can tell you what it sounded like. It sounded like this. The voice, I mean, going about your business, going about your day, and you're about to make a decision about something, and a little voice goes, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Right.
Now people that, and it could be the most inane thing, and if they go against that voice and a catastrophe happens, large or small, what's the first thing they will say later on? Something told me not to do that.
Exactly.
Or I knew I shouldn't have done it. Well, I've often asked people, have you ever wondered what that something is? So what I have found is, number one, if that appeared in our lives as some big blazing light flaring in the corner, we'd be so shocked out of our wits we'd miss the message. So more times than not, the guardian angel will speak to us from that, the voice of our conscience, and it sounds just exactly like our own voice, or else the nondescript feeling that comes where, like some people have just known that they were not to get on the plane, or they knew not to get in the car, or
Edgar Casey knew not to get on the elevator.
Right. That there was a time when, yeah, he was in New York and he was at a department store, and you know, he could see the light and color patterns around people or their auras, and he was in this department store, and when the elevator opened, he didn't see the color patterns surrounding these people. Now, he didn't know what was coming. He just knew something wasn't right. And he knew not to get on the elevator, but he didn't know why. When the doors closed, the elevator cable snapped, and everyone in the elevator was killed. Now, in that story, what I found was a relief was, you know, the aura represents the color pattern of the soul. And so what I have learned is, even before, like, a sudden death or sudden passing, those souls had already made their exit.
Ah.
I think that's why Casey didn't see the color patterns around them. And for those of us left with, like, the final image of someone who's died in a terrible accident, I have learned that the body may have its own consciousness and awareness, but the soul knows. And so I have no doubt in my mind that the souls were on safe ground long before that cable actually even snapped.
Okay.
And I've talked to people who've had near-death experiences who said that they were removed out of harm's way before the accident actually happened.
Mm.
And to me, that really makes sense. The soul knows what the conscious mind does not.
Okay, when we return, we're going to ask Rob about, a lot of people may think that New Age is a big joke, and he had a phrase in his book that said, old voices in a new age. So we're going to come back and find out more about angels. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. You still have time to call if you still have that question that you've been wanting to ask, any comments that you want to share. Give us a call. We're going to be back in just shortly. Don't go away. Thank you. Welcome back to Maryland Solutions. We are having a great time today talking about angels with Rob Grant, and glad that he's with us today. And you still have a chance to call in if you choose, 253-584-1480 in Pierce County. And King County is 253-804-5765. And we want to tell you that next week we'll be talking with a fellow about violence in music. And if you are concerned about what your kids are listening to and how that affects them, because I do know that, as Casey says, mind is the builder. And I'm sure it does have an effect on the lyrics of the songs or the rap that's going on today. And he has some interesting insights into that. The following week, we have Kimberly Clark Sharp right here from Seattle. She's the founder of IONS, which is the International Association of Near-Death Experiences, and she founded that chapter here in Seattle and has lots of wonderful stories to tell. So we're hopefully you will tune in again next week and hear some more outlandish information, as Rob thinks we're doing today.
Oh, I think it's wonderful.
And I just enjoy it. Rob, you in the phrase in your book, you said, old voices in a new age, and I thought that was a marvelous way to explain what so many people will laugh at today is called new age.
Yes, and what I discovered was there was a reading that was very prophetic that Edgar Cayce gave back in, I think it was 1928 or 29, and he said, the time has rolled around again where humankind is seeking more to know the mysteries of the mind, the nature of the soul, and its relationship to its creator. And so what I loved was he said, the time has rolled around again. And so what it seems to be is that we have, you know, I don't know a lot about astrology, but I know that we left behind the Piscean age and we entered into the age of Aquarius. And I guess there's a new age every 2,000 years. Well, every 2,000 years, it seems to be that there is a form of a spiritual renaissance. And so what I find that's so beautiful is, again, the voices of the angels, Michael, Gabriel, all those of what Cayce called the heavenly host, just as they proclaimed the coming of Christ into the earth 2,000 years ago, they're proclaiming the coming of Christ in the hearts and minds of the masses today.
Mm.
And to me, that is really beautiful. That's why I said that they are old voices. It's a new time. But I think now more than ever that if there was a veil between the world, it's very thin indeed. Because now more than ever, more and more people are having more experiences, spontaneous spiritual experiences, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that now, especially in these times, we need that reassurance. We need to know that there is a very present help in these times of trouble, because everything is so uncertain right now, and a lot of people are afraid. And I think in a very real sense is that the angels, as a direct voice of God, are in a sense telling us, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone.
Isn't that a great message?
Yeah, and call upon me. I'm here to help you. But again, it's like they can't do the best job in our lives unless we ask for help.
Oh, I agree with that. They really want you to ask.
Yeah, I know in my own life a lot of times that different people are prone to depression. I think all of us are to a certain extent. And I look back at certain periods where I would get so low and go through a really difficult period. And for some reason or another, I didn't ask for help. I didn't call out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me going through a lot of harder experiences before I called for help. And then afterward, I'm thinking, why didn't I do that sooner? You know, and you were talking about the experience that you had in the where there was a car accident that was averted. Now, I know that there are some people out there that will say, well, my loved one was in a car accident, and Where were their angels?
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is a lot of times it's like they're not what we look at as an accident from our viewpoint. A lot of times that there's certain instances where the angels will intervene to avoid an accident for the explicit purpose that story will get out, that others will know that angels do exist. I've done a lot of research into different spirit writings and mediumship, and I remember a wonderful book called On the Death of My Son, where a man's son was tragically killed at the age of 17. The boy said through this medium, he said, Dad, I only came into this life for 17 years. And he said, that was actually my exit point.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what appears He said, I know it appears tragic from your end, but in a lot of instances, what appears to be an accident is merely the place where the soul took its exit.
I agree.
To go back home. So I don't want people to think that that their guardian angels were sleeping on the job when this terrible accident happened to them, or that they'd done something wrong. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly. I did a reading for some people that came to a program one night, and their son had had an overdose of drugs and had a lot of companions that were into that, and he kind of got egged on, and his parents were just overwrought with grief. And
yeah.
What was happening was that was supposed to happen, and he had already made the decision when he came back he was going to do things differently. And he was just as happy as could be on the other side, but his parents were so distraught.
Devastated.
And they needed to hear that he was doing well and that he would be back, but it was a matter of that was the right timing.
Right. And see, to us, it's like we can't, Casey said, too often are things, conclusions are drawn from the world of appearances.
Right.
Whereas, like the instance of that boy that was killed in what appears to be that tragic car accident, that it appears to be an accident, and yet, you know, if we think about it, the spiritual realm is our real home. That we come here for school, and, you know, not, to me, when these things happen, I know there's not a lot of comfort in it, because there's nothing harder than a parent losing a child. There's just nothing harder. But to me, it's the soul graduates early.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be here for the 90 years or the long haul. And I did see, and I did talk to people who've had near-death experiences that says, by whatever means that the soul arrives on the other side, there is a celebration and a welcoming, and that those souls are taken care of very much in the same way that a soul is welcomed at birth when it's born into this realm.
Yes.
And also I've talked to people who said, even if we live here 90 years, the time that we spend here is like a day. I mean, it's like in comparison to the time that we spend over there on the other side. And so it may seem like a long time before we are reunited with our loved ones.
Okay.
But there is a reunion.
Right.
There will be a reunion.
There's one question I'd really like to throw up. We only have a few minutes left, Rob. But so often people talk about Satan and the various aspects of that, and you're right, and you mm-hmm. talk about it as the rebellion in heaven. Could you give us a short little version of what that was about?
Well, in applying it in today's life, I mean, rather than give the historical view, what I will say was that, or the way that I understand it, and someone asked in the readings about the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
and you know, where these forces will arise. And Casey said, through jealousy, through envy, through malice, through hate, through prejudice, those are doorways through which that when the human, when we choose to operate from that level, like when we choose to hold a grudge or we refuse to forgive, I mean, these are choices. And if I understand Casey properly, those, if you get enough people that are holding malice or prejudice or hatred, that opens the doorway for the forces of darkness to come into this world. And as far as like in the beginning, it's a very lengthy story, but what it seems to be is that souls chose to move against, and instead of selfless creation, like in harmony, and that souls went against that and sought to create only for their own selfish ends and for their own gratification. And what happened was what we call like the rebellion in heaven was that souls chose the selfish path, and what happened was the soul forgot completely. And so what it seems to be is that there was a group of souls that were trying to shepherd these souls that were moving more and more deeply in selfishness. And that was sort of what we might call the fall.
Oh.
or the rebellion. So Casey said these are echoed in anything that goes against the spirit of truth or light or love.
And we're going to stop there, Rob, because we're so glad you were here. And
I am too.
We've had a terrific show, and I know my listeners heard information that was answered today that they wouldn't maybe hear on another radio show, that's for sure. And so thanks for revealing your helpful knowledge, and we're so glad you spent your time with us today. And we want everyone to have a great day, and if you choose to sponsor this program, please call me at 253-845-4907. Everyone enjoy. This is a great day, and don't forget to tune in next Wednesday at noon for Maryland Solutions. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Maryland Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Maryland Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Maryland@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Maryland Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Maryland Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.